Our second speaker is Bengt Arnett. He's a professor and director of the Division of Occupational and Environmental Health in the Department of Family Medicine and Public Health Sciences at Wayne State University School of Medicine.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to present. And I have one of my collaborators, Dr. Hikmet Jamil, sitting with me also. We've been doing this work together. And really what we're trying to look at is what are the possible mediators between exposure to trauma and stress among refugees and health outcome. And this one is focused specifically on sleep disorders. And the only complicated interest is that we got a small grant from Pfizer Corporation to actually support the collection of data. And it's well known that refugees, as compared to other immigrants group, have more PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, depression, anxiety. They're also much more high at risk to develop different kind of somatic disorder, hypertension, cardiovascular disease. Also metabolic syndrome, which is very related to stress exposure, as well as psychosomatic disorders. And there's a lot of writing on these things. But also, even though it's less noticed, is that sleep disorder is rather common among refugees. And that's our specific focus in the study. And refugees are exposed to a lot of sustained stress exposure. Macro level, we heard just a prior discussion that, but also meso level and micro trauma and stressors that add to the total load of stressors. And a lot of focus has been on cognitive and psychological processes. How do you process trauma? How do you process stressors? And how do we change coping, etc.? But also, if you look at some of the studies, if you look at the biological aspect, you can see changes in the hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal cortical axis. And this is really the body's way of handling stress. How you can try to adjust metabolically or biologically to cope with stress. But interesting, a lot of these other disorders are very related to sleep disorders. So if you have sleep disorder, you tend to have more psychosomatic disorders, you tend to have more psychiatric disorders, you tend to have more metabolic disorders. And importantly, your resilience against stress decreases. So the worse you sleep, the less resilient you are to stress. So sleep, in some capacity, is entering into this equation from many different perspectives. So we wanted to look at the prevalence of sleep apnea in immigrants and culturally and ethnically matched immigrants. And then we want to explore whether sleep apnea is a mediator of PTSD scores on somatic and psychosomatic symptoms. And also, is there some direct relationship between sleep disorder and self-rated health? And self-rated health, of course, is used in numerous studies, and it's a tremendous important predictor. For some reason, we don't know why. People with poor self-rated health are much more likely to develop a disease or die 7 years up, 7 years on. And we can't really explain why. There's a lot of research trying to explain why one simple question, how would you rate your health today, is so important predicting how you will do in 7 to 10 years. But it is. So our sample, and most studies have been based on convenient sampling. We were able to design a study where we had a random sample of refugees and a random sample of immigrants. And then we used a validated structured survey instrument that looked at sociodemographic stressor and trauma exposure. We looked at physician diagnosed and treated sleep apnea. And this is really obstructive sleep apnea. So not only did the participants had to say that they're suffering from sleep apnea, they also had to say they were being treated for it. We looked at depression, PTSD score, somatic and psychosomatic symptoms. And all these things were done by specially trained Iraqi Arabic-speaking physicians. So all the interviews were being done in Arabic. And then we did some structural equation modeling, and we gave each participant $25 following completion of the survey. Here's some results. On average, refugees tended to be a little bit younger, basically 2 years. If you look at aggregate stress environmental exposure scale, and we just A lot of studies just looked at psychosocial exposure, number of, you know, have you been threatened, have you seen dead people, etc., have you, bad things happen to your family. But we also added a scale for environmental exposure, and these were Iraqi refugees, so a lot of exposure to oil well burns, depleted uranium, etc. And we added those two things up, even though actually in another study find that environmental exposure might be more important for health than actually psychosocial exposure. But these are the two scales together. You can see that the aggregate exposure to stressors in Iraq is substantially higher among refugees as compared to immigrants. First question, how would you rate your health? It's significantly worse among refugees. Overall, the majority are rated their health as poor compared to regular immigrants. And when we looked at sleep apnea, and as I mentioned before, it has to be, you have to say affirmative there, you've been diagnosed with sleep apnea from by a physician and you are currently treated. 30% of refugees stated that was the case, compared to less than 1% among immigrants. This is PTSD scores. Big difference between immigrants and refugees, naturally. Significantly higher symptomatology for post-traumatic stress disorder. And here is our structural equation modeling. And the main hypothesis was that people coming after 1991 to the United States, after the Gulf War started, versus before 1991. And the reason we don't call this refugees, non-refugees, but you basically you can say that people coming after 1991 were refugees, but there's a lot of legal aspect how you define and different kind of characterization in different countries. But we made that the major exposure variable. And you see here that there's a direct relationship between coming after 1991 to the United States and higher PTSD scores. And there's a relationship to apnea. So PTSD score mediated the effect on sleep apnea from coming after 1991. But you can also see that apnea loads on psychosomatic disorders, but not on somatic disorders. And psychosomatic disorders, as well as somatic disorder, impact self-rated health. But then there's also a direct relationship between coming after 1991, after you've been exposed to the Gulf War in Iraq, and self-rated health, worse self-rated health. So, and we also control for other factors here, which is known. For example, the older you are, of course, the more likely you have the somatic disorder, which we found. Health insurance, we theorize that if you have health insurance, you're probably more likely to be visiting a physician and therefore more likely to be diagnosed with apnea if you were to have apnea, which you can see here that that's the case. But also employment. We know unemployment is a risk factor for poor health. And you can see that employed people have less psychosomatic disorders and employed people have self-rated health much higher, which is already known from a lot of other groups. But I think this is an important aspect when you look at refugees. What is the employment status in the new host country? So altogether, you can see that refugee status is mediated an effect on apnea by means of PTSD scores, but apnea also have an effect on psychosomatic health and self-rated health. So the conclusion is that sleep apnea is more common in refugees. We think that a possible mediator of PTSD on psychosomatic health might be sleep apnea, and refugees have worse self-rated health, partially mediated by PTSD score and psychosomatic disorders. And we suggest that it's important to screen for sleep disorder among refugees, and this has implication for self-rated health, somatic and mental health, which are huge public health challenges among refugees. And future study needs to look also at polysomnographic. Once we found this, everything is built on, we diagnosed based on interviews with physicians, but we think next step there's enough evidence here to support you need to do polysomnographic studies, which is the ultimate way of diagnosing sleep apnea. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.